This week, on a special episode of WebMD's Health Discovered podcast, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
It's a diagnosis that changes everything. So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
An 84-year-old woman is missing from her home in Tucson, Arizona. No suspect has been publicly identified. No arrest has been made. No proof of life has been established. The crime scene at Nancy Guthrie's residence was released and then re-entered by investigators multiple times. The Sheriff's Department's own search aircraft, a Cessna, equipped with high-resolution thermal imaging designed to locate people in desert terrain, sat on the ground for hours after Nancy was reported missing because the pilot trained on that plane had been reassigned to street patrol over a personal dispute with a sheriff, allegedly. A helicopter went up, but it lacked thermal imaging. The Cessna didn't launch until roughly 5 hours into the search for a vulnerable elderly woman. The department's most experienced search and rescue deputy had already been transferred to patrol with no replacement. Because of ego, allegedly. The sheriff told reporters that investigators were definitely getting closer. He told them he wasn't used to people holding him accountable for what he says, and the Pima County Deputies Organization, representing more than 300 members of the sheriff's own department, voted unanimously that they had no confidence in the man running the show. That should be enough to make you angry. But what should genuinely terrify you is that none of this is new. Not the incompetence, not the ego, not the pattern. There's a dark, repeating chapter in American law enforcement that plays out with brutal consistency. A missing person, compromised investigation, and a leader, a chief, a sheriff, someone with a badge and a title and the authority to direct resources whose ego, corruption, or sheer inability to do the job turned what might have been solvable into something permanent. History is full of them. And when you line those cases up next to what's happening in Pima County right now, the parallels aren't subtle. They're stomach-turning. This isn't an isolated failure. It's the latest entry in a long, ugly American tradition. And as we get into this long, ugly American tradition, give me your thoughts in the comments section on Substack, YouTube, or wherever you're watching this. And be sure to press subscribe as well, especially the podcast platform. Take us with you on the go, wherever it is. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever. Hit subscribe. We'd love for you to be with us every day as we report on these folks. Let's start in Long Island in December of 2010. Police searching for a missing woman named Shannon Gilbert. They stumble onto something far worse along Ocean Parkway near Gilgo Beach. The remains of four women wrapped in burlap, dumped in the brush. Over the following months, more remains were found. The body count climbed to at least 10. It should have been one of the biggest serial murder investigations in a generation. It should have brought every available federal resource to bear. Instead, the investigation was strangled from the inside. Suffolk County Police Chief James Burke actively blocked the FBI from officially joining the Gilgo Beach case for years. Critical evidence, a vehicle sighting near one of the last victims, cell phone data that could have narrowed the suspect pool, sat in boxes and gathered dust. Detectives who pushed for more aggressive investigations hit walls. The reason Burke kept the FBI at arm's length and had nothing to do with jurisdictional pride or strategic disagreement, it had everything to do with self-preservation. Why? Well, Burke had his own problems. Federal investigators were circling his department, and the last thing he needed was the Bureau embedded in his operation, looking at everything, especially what was in his trunk. Burke resigned in 2015. He was then indicted for civil rights violations and conspiracy, specifically for beating a man in custody and then conspiring to cover it up. He was convicted, sentenced to 46 months in federal prison, and the Gilgo Beach case went cold for over a decade. Oh, he also ran in the circles of the S workers, too. Allegedly. For over a decade, families of those women spent years grieving, wondering, waiting, not because the evidence didn't exist, but because the man in charge cared more about protecting himself than finding a killer. It wasn't until a new district attorney assembled a multi-agency task force in 2022, finally bringing the FBI, state police, and the sheriff's office together, that investigators identified and arrested Rex Heuermann in 2023. In fact, if you're watching this the day we're dropping this, he's pleading guilty. Evidence that had been there the entire time finally got the attention it deserved because someone willing to do the work replaced someone who wasn't. Now, hold that in your mind and think about Pima County, a sheriff with documented hostility towards the FBI, rooted in federal investigation into his department's misuse of civil asset forfeiture funds back in 2015, a department that waited before requesting federal assistance in the Guthrie case, a leader who has publicly acknowledged he's not accustomed to accountability. That's my favorite. Not accustomed to accountability. The specifics are different. The architecture is the same. Now let's take a journey back further. Let's go back. Let's go way back. If you take your love away from... If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. It's the intro to a Blackstreet song. Now go back further. October 1989. A warm night in central Minnesota, an 11-year-old boy named Jacob Wetterling is riding his bike with friends near his home in St. Joseph when a masked man steps out of the darkness, grabs Jacob, and tells the other boys to run or he'll shoot. Jacob's gone. What followed should have been a solvable case within 48 hours. A local teenager walked into the Stearns County Sheriff's Office with his father and told investigators about a string of ass assaults in nearby Painesville, attacks with the same quick, military, and proficient style as Jacob's abduction. The FBI connected the case almost immediately, because why wouldn't you? And investigators zeroed in on the man named Denny Henrick. They had him. Henrick failed a polygraph. His tires matched plaster casts from the abduction scene. One of only two vehicles in the entire investigation that matched. He was put under surveillance. He was arrested and interrogated. Then Stearns County let him walk. The interrogation was conducted while Henrick was drunk. Investigators ran a photo lineup, but didn't include the two boys who were with Jacob the night he was taken. They didn't show the lineup to victims of the connected Painesville assaults. They had one of only two matching tire sets in the entire case and didn't use that fact to keep Henrick in focus, even though they'd used the evidence to rule out other suspects. Henrick's name disappeared from the investigative file for more than 20 years. For 27 years, Jacob Wetterling's family lived without answers. Henrick wasn't arrested until 2016 on child charges and confessed to Jacob's murder as part of a plea agreement. A new Stearns County sheriff, Don Gudmundsson, Gudmundsson. Publicly condemned everything that had come before him. He listed at least 20 major investigative failures. He choked up at the podium and said five words that should haunt every law enforcement agency in this country. all of us failed. No one was disciplined. The detectives who made the decision that cost Jacob Wetterling his life and his family 27 years of answers had already retired. They were gone. The consequences landed on the institution. The individuals walked away clean. Now, think about the Guthrie investigation. Reporting has raised serious questions about who was running the initial response. A homicide sergeant who allegedly had no prior homicide experience, an understaffed detective squad, veteran detectives reportedly sidelined, a search plane grounded because of a personal grudge. The question that the Wetterling case forces you to confront is not just whether mistakes were made, it's whether the people making the decisions were qualified to make them at all. And then there's Alonzo Brooks. Let's go back to April of 2004, 23-year-old man from Gardner, Kansas. Rides with friends to a house party. About an hour south, roughly 100 people are there. At some point, Alonzo's friends have different times, and Alonzo is left behind without a ride. He never makes it home. His family contacts the Linn County Sheriff's Office. They were met with what family members described as indifference. The sheriff's department searched the area around the farmhouse and nearby Middle Creek. The Kansas Bureau of Investigations called in. The FBI got involved. A month passed and nothing. So the Brooks family organized their own search, gathered more than 50 friends and family members, walked the road near the farmhouse, and followed the two branches of Middle Creek. In under an hour, they found Alonzo's body, partially resting on a pile of brush and branches in the creek adjacent to the farmhouse where he was last seen, in the same area that trained investigators had supposedly already covered. The original autopsy was performed by a coroner who had been forced to resign from a previous position in New York after prosecutors found he had routinely removed organs from corpses without family consent and improperly stored remains in his office. I know, you can't make this up. The coroner ruled Alonzo's cause of death undetermined. The case went dormant for 15 years. It wasn't until a U.S. attorney reopened it in 2019 and the FBI exhumed Alonzo's body that a team of federal forensic pathologists reached a rather different conclusion: homicide. Injuries inconsistent with decomposition. A family that knew something was wrong from the start had spent a decade and a half being told there was nothing to find, while the evidence was right there in the same creek waiting for someone competent enough to find it. That's the part that should sit with you, not just the investigative failure, but the experience of the family, being told to wait, being told people are working on it, being told investigators are getting closer, and then silence, weeks of silence. The Guthrie family has offered over $1 million in reward money. They've pled publicly. Savannah Guthrie has gone to national television and begged for her mother's return, and the public has not been made aware of a single identified suspect, a single person of interest, a single vehicle connected to the crime. Every family in every one of these cases knows exactly what the silence feels like, and it always means the same thing. The people in charge don't have what it takes. Which brings us to March of 2026. Costilla County, Colorado, a property owner discovers human remains on his land. Small skull, teeth, dental work, clothing, shoes, indicators that could suggest foul play. Sheriff Danny Sanchez responds to the scene, and according to the grand jury indictment, Sanchez was more interested in looking for arrowheads than investigating the human remains. One of his deputies placed bones into a used paper grocery bag. No label, no forensic seal, no chain of custody documentation. Then left the bag unsecured on his desk while he left on another call. When the deputy returned, the bag was gone. The county coroner wasn't contacted until after the remains had already been collected and moved, in direct violation of state law requiring remains to stay in the same place until the coroner arrives. The case was marked closed by the sheriff's office. The Colorado Bureau of Investigation had to come later to collect what was left. A grand jury indicted Sheriff Sanchez, his undersheriff, and three deputies, including the sheriff's own son. Sanchez resigned within days. The county held an emergency meeting to appoint an interim replacement. The entire department was left with one deputy and a transport officer. That's what the end looks like when leadership fails completely. Not a spin campaign, not a press conference where the sheriff tells you everything is under control, a grand jury, an indictment, and an empty office. And in Pima County, the trajectory is visible to anyone paying attention. A board of supervisors invoking a territorial era statute to compel the sheriff to answer questions under oath. A recall campaign actively collecting signatures. A disciplinary record from the El Paso Police Department in the late 70s and early 80s. It includes allegations of excessive force, insubordination, off-duty gambling, and a resignation in lieu of termination. Details that were absent from the sheriff's public resume until reporters dug them up. A deposition in which the sheriff was asked if he'd ever been suspended as a law enforcement officer, had answered in a way that county supervisor had publicly called perjury. The deputies union that doesn't just disagree with their boss, they formally asked him to resign. Every one of these cases, Gilgo Beach, Jacob Wetterling, Alonzo Brooks, Costello County, shares the same rotten core. The failures weren't just operational, they were leadership failures. A police chief who blocked the FBI to protect himself, a sheriff's office that held the killer's name in their hands and let him vanish from the file for two decades, a family that found their son's body in the same creek that professionals somehow missed, a sheriff more interested in arrowheads than human remains, and in Tucson, a sheriff who grounded his best search aircraft over a personal grudge, allegedly. Released a crime scene prematurely, contradicted his own public statements, placed reportedly unqualified personnel in charge of the initial response, and told the press with apparent sincerity that he's not used to being held accountable for what he says. These cases never end with the person in charge quietly getting better at the job. And he learned from his mistakes and everything got better. No, they end with indictments, resignations, recall campaigns, grand juries. And families who spend years, sometimes decades, carrying the weight of what could have been different if someone competent had been at the helm from the start. Nancy Guthrie's family is still waiting. And every case in this country's history that looks like this one tells us exactly the same thing. Waiting doesn't fix broken leadership. Accountability does. When will we get it? That is the question. Your thoughts in the description, or rather in the comments section on Substack and YouTube, wherever you're listening to this, we'd love for you to weigh in. Also, be sure to press subscribe wherever you're getting podcasts so you don't miss any of our coverage of this case as we continue to dig deeper and deeper and hold those in power accountable. Your thoughts in the comments section. We'll continue it there. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino,
America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's tax season, and by now, we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it. Guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.